welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today is the woman who knows how to set personal boundaries, Alex Standy.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
Dan Mangena is not going to be able to join us today, but he'll be back next week, I am sure. But in the meantime, Alex and I are carrying on in the way that we know how to. And Alex, I wanted to let you know, in your honor, I'm wearing purple today. I just wanted to point that out to you.
It looks good on you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I also want to tell a little story, and then I want to bring in a special guest we have joining us today, because despite the fact that Daniel isn't here, we do have a third person joining us. Her name is Bo Maxwell, and she is the teacher of the SAGE method, which we are going to learn all about for most of the show here. But I got to tell a story that happened, because lately I've been working first of all, on putting together the recordings from the summit that we put on last week. So those of you who've been waiting for your recordings, they are in process. But we're trying to make them all nice and clean and tidy so that everything's very professional looking when you receive them. And also we're trying to edit out some stuff that really doesn't need to be in there. So give us a little time, but we're making progress on that. Anne-Marie Young is being really, really helpful in terms of digging through all that stuff with me. But in the meantime, I also have been doing more to reach out to our listeners and to develop a new listenership as well in our Facebook circles, on the Facebook page, the groups and so forth. And in the process of doing that, I do paid advertising occasionally. And so I went in to do a little paid advertising campaign just to kind of get some posts going. And I ran into something that surprised me. Normally, I don't know how many people know about how Facebook advertising works, but you can target pretty carefully on, you know, what kind of audience is going to hear from you and so forth. And not surprisingly, one of the things that I like to target in on is people who are interested in the law of attraction, right? I mean, kind of makes sense. Well, guess what? Facebook no longer allows targeting on the term law of attraction.
What?
It shocked me too. I couldn't quite believe it. I actually contacted their support about it to find out, really? Why? Well, it turns out this part
includes everything. That makes sense.
Well, it kind of does. This is actually part of a much larger thing that Facebook has been changing on over the last couple of months. In part, it's their response to a lot of the public pressures they've gotten about controversial stuff that has shown up on Facebook and so forth. So the bottom line is they have decided to basically prevent targeting on a range of topics that they are grouping under the category of either people are sensitive to them, or the topics are redundant, or the topics are not particularly popular. Well, we know the third category doesn't apply because literally millions of people are into law of attraction. So it's not that one. And it's not a redundancy. It actually is the first one, sensitivity. Apparently, law of attraction in their minds fits under the category of religion. And they are no longer allowing anyone to target religion or causes or politics or health or public figures. I mean, there's like this long list of things you're not allowed to target anymore. And to make things even more interesting and more confusing, it's not that you can't advertise on those themes. You can advertise on them just fine. You just can't target them. So the reason this becomes a really interesting point is that one of the things that the Facebook pages, they have a couple pages written up about what they're doing here in this transition that they're doing, is they talk about how their conversations with experts had convinced them that there are certain categories that are so sensitive that if you allow targeting of them, then people of disadvantaged groups will be experiencing negative experiences out of that. That's their kind of generic way of describing the situation. So you get the sense that what they're trying to do is they're trying to desensitize some stuff. But what I don't think even the experts realized is what they're actually doing is they're exposing more and more people to the exact advertising that they feel is too sensitive, because they aren't banning the advertising. You can still advertise this stuff. You just can't target it. And the way targeting works on Facebook, targeting is about sending it only to people who are interested in that thing. So, for instance, with law of attraction, since we can't target law of attraction anymore, then you have to broaden it out to like people interested in positive thinking or something like that. Mm-hmm. So now a whole bunch of people who really don't care about law of attraction, they're interested in positive thinking, but they don't care about laws of attraction. They're going to start getting law of attraction ads that they didn't want to see. And that also means that because the same thing is true for the others, you've got people who are, for instance, going to be receiving religion ads and they don't want to have religion, or political ads and they don't want to see politics, or, you know, fill in the blank. Because when you take away the targeting, that means the only way that they can put their ads out is to do it to a broader audience.
Right.
So you end up with this very interesting law of attraction paradigm, one that we all know very well. If you keep pushing against what you don't like, it doesn't drive it away. It enhances it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what is happening in the real world. So I thought I'd bring this up as like, wow, there's an example of the very thing we caution about. You know, don't keep hammering on that thing that you don't like. You're going to get more of it. Because guess what? You're about to get more of it. And I don't know that people are ready for what's going to hit them. Because it's kind of happening over like a 2-month period. I guess the initial date for it was January 19th. And then there's like certain things that happen right away and other things that take time. So I guess it plays out until like March 27th, something like that. So over that time period, people are going to all of a sudden start seeing ads on topics they've never seen before in their Facebook feeds. It's going to be quite interesting. So just had to throw that one out there. But we do have, like I said, we have a guest joining us today. And she has a course and a method that has a name I don't know. I have to admit, I did a little quick research, but I didn't learn enough to really be, you know, able to talk about it. So I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let her talk about it. And I'm going to, first of all, just welcome her to the show. So Bo Maxwell, first of all, thank you for joining us on the show today. And thank you for joining us with that lovely background you've got. Very colorful, very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. This is the office. This is, I do so much teaching and so many gatherings with the community that this is just really the office. This is where I sit when I put a mic in front of me.
Well, it works. I mean, it works for you. I can tell you that. I mean, you mentioned before you came on that you were glad that we were relaxed. I mean, that looks like a really relaxed environment to work in, from the background. Well,
it saves me from having to, you know, pick out plants and things like that. And, you know, it's just right. Alex is like, yeah, you're just done. Yeah. Nice.
Gotta love it. So, all right. So give us like a little quickie seminar on what the SAGE method is and why it's so important.
Well, I think if you don't mind so much, I would probably want to start with why.
That's a good spot. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Because, you know, I think when we function in the why, I mean, we always go really deeper into things. So I'm like sitting here thinking about the Facebook story you told and I'm like, so, you know, so you go right into that.
I was asking myself, so you're not the only one.
So, a super quick background on me. I was a skeptic most of my life, a solid skeptic. I have a math degree from, you know, college. 1 + 1 = 2. I spent my life building businesses, no spirituality, no religion. Now, fast forward, I was 31. I'm going to go ahead and age myself. This was like 17 years ago. And I was 31 and my grandmother passed away. I was about 2,000 miles away from her at the time. I was able to connect on the phone just to the room of people that were there with her. But she passed and I was standing in my living room moments after trying to figure out what to do. And she showed up in my living room. And for me, that was, you know, people are like, I wish I had a moment. Like, no, I didn't wish I had a moment like that. It was frightening. It was shocking because she was 70% transparent. This wasn't like a out of the corner of the eye. She was right there.
Oh, wow.
Cheeky little thing standing there looking at me, winking and smiling like she thought this was the funniest thing that ever happened. And I was and shocked, got through it. The next day, you know, a couple people said some things to me about having a dream about her and things like that. And I said, well, I'm going to just kind of play around with this and see if this is real, because that was so real. And I found a Tai Chi instructor. And I remember, you know, I said to him this, okay, you are the one person that is the closest to the spiritual world I know, because you do Tai Chi. Like, that's how much of a skeptic and not in this world I was. So he helped me with yes and no, communicating with her. Shortly after that, a few months later, I inadvertently met my first spirit guide. I then spent 2 years with him, first off, trying to see him, trying to hear him, trying to actually hone. And I spent 2 years with him working on my intuition. After 2 years, you know, I was still very much in my own world. This was just me. And he said, I want you to take everything that we did in the last 2 years, and I want you to bring it out to the world and to people. That's how the Sage Method was born. So I took the 2 years of development, because by the end of 2 years, I was a professional intuitive. I was a professional medium working full time. And I was naive, and I didn't know that people open or could open that. I wasn't aware of how long it took people to open and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was to my benefit, Alex, not knowing, you know what I mean? Not knowing that limitation. So it opened very quickly. Now I know that I opened very quickly over 2 years, and he worked with his guidance. I took everything he walked me through, got it down into a 7-week formula that really builds off of each week, because that's what he did with me. Mm-hmm. And the Sage Method was born. And I've been teaching that for 12, 13 years now. So that's really the story of it.
That's pretty cool, too, that you just kind of slid very easily in a short period of time into the role of being a medium. I mean, that going from no spirituality, no religion, for me, that was like a major journey. For you, it was like, okay, we're there.
Well, and like I said, I think that the blessing was that can you imagine like spiritual guides in front of me blocking people that would say that to me? Like, don't say that to her. She doesn't know that. She doesn't realize it. Let her keep going and doing what she's doing. She's naive to the idea that this is a hard thing. Because I didn't know anything. So it was, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And he would say, do this. And I did it. And do this. And I did it. And so once I got to that level, that's when I started to get clients, you know, friends of friends start talking to you, et cetera. Built my client base. That went global very quickly too. And then, that's when he was like, you're ready, bring this out into the world. And I did, and started talking to people. And that's when I started to get the feedback of people saying, you don't understand, I've been trying to do this for years and years and years, and you know, nothing's worked. And that's where the formula comes in. Mm-hmm. That says, here are the pieces that you need to go through. Here are the steps that you need to build on top of each other and step into it. So. I think as such a skeptic and analytical thinker, if somebody would have told me in the beginning, yeah, this is hard for almost everyone, I probably wouldn't have opened as fast as I did.
You would have believed it, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's how it was. And it went online a couple years ago, and we've been teaching it. So it went from local in person to online, local, and now it's global.
That's cool. Wow. So, okay, now we know what the why is. So let me get back to my question. What's the what? What is it?
Okay, so it's 7 weeks. And luckily, you don't have to go through the 2 years that I went through. But it's 7 weeks. And the basic formula is three steps. In the first step is really decluttering, because the number one thing that blocks intuition is clutter. We look at people who have, you know, really open intuition. They can get these spot on messages, and we think, oh, they're special, or they're unique, or what's the word that everyone uses? They're gifted. Mm-hmm. Well, my guide approached it very differently with me. He was like, no, this is natural. You just don't use it, and it's blocked. So let's unblock it. And I went, oh, okay. And he said, it's just like your taste buds. It's just like your, you know, hearing. And I believed him. And then, well, it turns out it's true. It is. It's just a sixth sense, just like the other ones. And so he said, let's just clear it up. So it was kind of like, realizing that your ears have been blocked for so many years and then having to take steps to unclog them. And you're like, oh, okay, now I feel how I can use it. I know how I can use it and I can access it regularly. Like, you want to smell a flower, you smell a flower. So
you couldn't have been totally blocked though. I mean, from what you're saying, you couldn't have been. But you couldn't have been because you were able to get in touch with him, or he was able to get in touch with you. So you actually were able to get something.
I was only able to get something because that cheeky little sweetheart grandmother of mine, like, blasted me to say, wake up. And people are like, is that going to happen to me? No, I was really that thick in the skull that that she had to come through that strong. I think if she went, when my grandmother, I saw her the first time, I think if it was out of the corner of my eye, I would have written it off.
Right.
I would have been like, doubt. And it had to be that impactful. Now, I remember you watched I Dream of Jeannie, right? You got the little nose wrinkle. I remember what do you do? Like, wrinkle your nose? How did she come back? Like, how do I get you to come back? You know, thinking there's this place that she's at, that she's going to visit me. And like, I had all of these ideas. And that's where that Tai Chi instructor was so helpful to me. He was like, okay, meditation, grounding, let's work with yes and no vibrations, because those are very distinct. And then I started to feel the chills and the goosebumps, and then I started to feel the cold or the hot, and I was like, okay, I'm starting to get this. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to get answers. The day that I believed it, I had been, so it wasn't that I just met the guide and got started and everything else. This was me just kind of navigating my way to try to feel something again, mm-hmm. after seeing her that first time. And I am bad with time. I'm going to say it was a couple of months in. I had a pendulum. I was swinging it for yes and no answers. I had built communication with her, but still doubted, still in my head was like, this is grief. I'm making it up. I'm giving myself the answers I think I want to hear. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving, I was running errands, and I felt the chills rush through me again. Like our members call them, what did one of my circle members said, the soul shivers ran through me again. And I pulled over. Wasn't that a great term, Alex? You said that the other day. I was like, I'm using that. That's good. So I pulled over, pulled out the pendulum, did yes and no questions. It took me 20 minutes with yes and no to narrow it down to and this was from my grandmother. My mom was going to have an issue. It was going to be with finances. She was going to call me for help, but that I wouldn't help her, someone else will. And I was like, okay, when this doesn't come true, I'm going back to my regular life.
You had it out.
Done. No more games. So I left. Maybe an hour later, my mom called. Exactly what my grandmother had said. Your mom, you know, she's like, I've got this issue. I need, and this was back in the day. We're talking 12, 15 years ago when things weren't smartphone. And she said, I need you to move cash from one bank to another. I said, no problem. So I went to the bank, got the cash, and I'm driving to the other one. I'm still writing this off because my mom was an accountant. She was in the financial world. It's not like this hasn't happened before. But it was when I pulled into her bank and I was about to go in to deposit the cash that my mom called back and said, don't worry about it. Lisa helped me out. It's all taken care of. And that was the day I went, whoa, okay. That lined up way too well, all in one day. And I never looked back. Yeah. After that is when I caught a glimpse of my guide in a friend's wooded area next to their home. And I was so drawn out of curiosity that I started to just sit out there. I was like, can I go meditate in your forest? They were like, that sounds wonderful. So I did. I'm like, not creepy at all. I'm just going to go sit out here and stare at a tree. And I remember just, again, doing the same thing with him that I had done with my grandmother, trying to feel him, see him, get yes and no's. And that's where I met with him for well over a year. Having conversations. I've got the whole journal, and this is where he taught me everything. Eventually, I didn't have to go into the woods to meet him. I could woke up to that fact. And that's really how it all came to be. But he walked me through the exact same formula, which back to that is decluttering, you know, decluttering. And every, you know, emotional, environmental, mental piece of clutter that we have really kind of gets in the way of that sixth sense being able to communicate with you. And the way he explained it was the best. He said, think of every piece of clutter, emotionally, environmentally, et cetera, as a hamster on a hamster wheel. How many hamsters on a hamster wheel do you have in your mind? Mm-hmm. Now you're asking your intuition to navigate through those. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he said, yes, this is why the dude that lives at the top of the mountain and just has a fire has like infinite intuition because he has nothing to worry about. So it's not the goal to get there, but decluttering is helpful because we put our own clutter on, we put our own blocks on. So the first part of the course, we remove those. We get you moving in that direction for a life of declutter. Then the second part is explaining how all of this works. How is it transmitted? What's the difference between psychic and mediumship? What is the dictionary? What is like understanding all the levels of it and the intricacies, because I feel like when you understand it, you can use it better. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, there are these really amazing, fun experiments that the students walk through that are kind of like blind study experiments to really show them, no, seriously, look at what you can do. And it helps them to find their individual intuitive strength, because I think that's another false thing that people can slip into, is thinking that they have to do it like someone else, you know, and the whole course helps you figure out how you do it not how to do it just like someone else. So that's really the three-step formula. It's what he walked me through, and it's what I've been walking students through for years now.
I got to ask you also about your grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
Just the way you kind of hinted at it, you made it sound like she was digging being the person to come to wake you up. Like she was living for that.
Are you kidding? She was like, whoo! She was 5 feet tall, spitfire. I'm telling, if you wanted to skip school and have fun, you went to grandma's house. She was just a hoot. She knew. Oh, she was great. She taught me how to have fun, how to love unconditionally, and how to not care what other people think of you, kind of thing. Like she just, you know, she taught me how to live life. And I now can look back, because my life is a lot different today than it was before. And my life was probably a 3. Now out of a 10, my life is like an 11. My life is so great now. And I feel like she knew it. And she was like, oh, now I'm somewhere where I can get you out of your stubborn way and show you how to live. And that's what she did. She's incredible. You ask anybody in the family, they're like, yep, that's her. She's awesome.
Does she continue to come back? Do you continue to get messaging from her? Oh, well, yeah. You ask it then.
We've got great minds going together here. I love it. She does. She stuck with me for a long time. What I found was that she was either my butt kicker or she was my coddler. Like she would either coddle me and hold me in those times that were really hard, or she would be the one to step up and say, come on, let's go. And she knew the exact balance on when to do it. She's with me most of the time. She was with me solid for the first 2 to 3 years. After that, I remember she said, I'm going to take a little step back. And I remember I was really crushed because I never went through the grieving process because I grabbed on. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was a hard day for me to say, where are you going? Like, wait, you explained how all this works. I know you don't have to go anywhere, but you're leaving. So little temper tantrum in the woods there. I'm kidding. And she did. She distanced herself for a little bit from me. I now know that that was what I needed, because I needed to stand on my own 2 feet and not be so, you know, reliant and leaning on her so much. And then eventually she started to kind of pop back in again. And now I swear, you two, she's just here for the fun. She's like, oh, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do this. She's like, I'm coming with. It's like, okay. All right. So
it makes sense. The way you described that first vision, I mean, it almost sounded like she couldn't wait to get in front of you.
She couldn't
wait.
she was standing sideways. And I believe people are like, why was she standing sideways? I believe it's because it was one more thing that I couldn't write off. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it was different than the face on how I would have, my brain would have created it. So she just was standing sideways. She turned. This could have been a TikTok. I'm telling you, she was standing sideways and she turned and she winked and she had that little smile on her face and then she just disappeared and she just loved it. She loved it. And I was like, oh, not funny. But
I can just imagine woman. Like casting call on the other side. Okay. Who wants to volunteer to be Bo's first spirit? Oh, I do. I want.
And she was probably, there was probably a little bit of her that was like, oh, let me, this is going to be so much fun. She was the one that she put Halloween parties on for me every year of my life, starting at the age of like 6. I mean, she I wasn't living. I was not emotionally living at the time. You know, I was in the grind. I was in a not the best place, et cetera, et cetera. And she was like, oh, let's go. And that was the beginning of the whole adventure.
So let's talk about that, the first stage of the SAGE method. That's where you're dealing with all those blocks and so forth. And yep. I'm wondering, are there patterns to that, or is it so individual for every person? I mean, how does that play out? Is there patterning, or is it all individual, or is there some combination, or you know, how common are the blocks?
Well, they're very common. And I feel like for many people, when they go into this, and especially because we do the course together as a community, so everyone has access to the same place where they can talk to each other and such. And I think it's really helpful and very healing for people to be like, I'm not alone with this, because there's a mm-hmm. lot of things that we take on, you know, and we carry on our shoulders quietly. And it's when we're like, oh, I'm not the only one that does this pattern. Mm-hmm. I'm not alone. And you mm-hmm. have other people that are like, we can do this. We can lift up from this pattern. I think that's really empowering. In general, the people that are drawn to take this course are people that are very giving, that are very loving and supportive, want to help. That's huge. I mean, we have so many yoga practitioners, doulas, nurses. I mean, it's really kind of a running theme. I mean, mm-hmm. I also have off the top of my head, I can think of 2 lawyers and a police officer. So it's a course for everybody, mm-hmm. but it's pretty much people that their heart really is very giving. And the hard part about that is that can be taken advantage of, and that can be a mm-hmm. pattern. And so that's kind of a general theme of a big pattern that a lot of people that go through this have to learn how to set healthy boundaries. I heard, Alex, you rock at that.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I caught that. I was like, okay, that's my girl right there. Yeah. Setting healthy boundaries, finding out who you are instead of who you were told you should be. And then bring into your life the things that actually resonate with you and you thrive with. Those tasks really are game changers. They lift the vibration. They can lift the emotions. They can open up doors for people. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize how heavy that weighs on us every single day until we take a look at it.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. And this is actually something that it's a course that you guys don't, it's not something you offer year round. It has certain periods of time that you offer it, and you're kind of coming up on the next enrollment period, right?
Yes. Yep. We only offer it once, sometimes twice a year, depending on the demand. And the reason is because I do the weekly gatherings with everybody. We're all, like I said, we're all doing it together at the same time. People mm-hmm. can watch the training videos in their own pace at home, mm-hmm. but, and then they've got the workbook and everything that's mailed to them. So they've got the supplies, but as a community, they have the Q&A area. They've got the forum. They can, you know, connect with other students. And so I find that it really helps, because it's hard to complete a 7-week course at home by yourself. You know, life can get in the way. Mm-hmm. And especially when the course says, hey, take a look at this and gain some awareness about yourself. Some of us can go, I'll get back to that. I'm going to get back to that one. I'm going to go clean out my attic. Yeah. And so it's really helpful to have that. And then everyone gathers with me once a week so I can answer questions and connect with people as well. It's really important to me. And because I used to teach it in person, I can't teach everybody in person now, but I can meet with them every week and then have them have all the teachings as well. So that's why we only do it once a year. Enrollment opens on the 1st of February. So that's coming up in a couple of days. We have a wait list. We'll let the wait list people, you know, we'll give them a day or two access beforehand because those are the people that are like, I'm in. Let me know. I'm in. And so we open it up to the wait list and we open up to the general public. And it closes. If it doesn't sell out, usually sells out. But if it doesn't sell out, we'll close it on the 14th of February. So, but it's really easy to just get on the list or, you know, find out more information about it to see if it's a fit with you. And I tell people, sit with it. Sit with it. Because it's a 7-week commitment, you know. I can tell people until I'm blue in the face, all these examples of people that have gone through and they've had this happen and that happen. The bottom line is, where are you right now? And is this pulling at you? If it is, then it's right. And that's what I tell people, to really kind of sit with it and feel. That's take your first intuitive step and be like, is this it? Is this the direction I'm supposed to go? So.
Which is important. I mean, you have to be in alignment with the thing if you're going to do it. Because this is, I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty major commitment. It sounds like it's probably a significant financial commitment. So you're committing in a lot of different ways to something like this.
Yeah, you are. This is a course for somebody that's like, you know what? I'm ready. Like, I am done with this past pattern. I am done with not having direction. I'm done with these things in my life. I want to go here. I haven't been able to figure out how. If I could connect with my guides, if I could connect with my higher self, if I could get answers from source for myself, if I could get linked in a way that I could actually witness and experience my spiritual path and then go in the direction I want to go in. But you have to be ready for that. Do you know what I mean? It's not like card reading 101.
Yeah.
it's like when you're done with the course, your intuition will be open. You will be able to ask questions. You'll be able to get the direction. You will start to see the signs that you needed to take the steps forward, but you have to be ready to take the steps forward.
But it does raise the question, though. I mean, does anybody ever fail the course? I mean, does somebody come through and they're done with the course and the intuition really isn't open?
No, I've never seen that. There's never been somebody that went all the way through it and went, no, I didn't get anything. Wait a minute. Actually, the more I think about it, I have had one or two people, but upon asking them like, okay, in week 3, how did this go for you? Their answer is, well, I didn't do that part. So
I didn't do the homework. Know, the dog ate my homework.
It's like, well, if you don't learn 1 + 1 = 2, don't step into algebra. Like, so it's a formula,
right?
You know, so I tell people the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And for people that, you know, just if they don't do it, which they, it's so rare, Walt, because like you said, it's an investment and they've committed to it and they know there's a group of us all with them. We're with you. Mm-hmm. We're all together doing this. And so people tend to do the work. And I can't think of anyone that said, oh, it didn't work. It's more like
how big of a class is it? I'm sorry.
Huh?
Go ahead and finish your statement. Oh, I was just interrupting you.
Oh, no. I interrupted you back. I think you're even. Yeah. My brain just let it go. That's so funny. I was saying that people, it's more often than not that they just pause and they say, okay, this one I'm not ready to walk through, so I'm going to pause. And the positive is that if you do come across something in the course where you're like, I'm close, but not quite ready. I need to take a beat on this one a minute. People have access to the course permanently and forever. So we have people that go through it on their own once a year, or they'll jump back into the cycle with us because they already have the workbooks and everything, you know, and they're like, are you doing it on February again? Can I join you? Yep. Come on in. So if once you buy the course, you can do it again and again.
Okay. And when you say that, the person who comes through, their intuition is open. I'm not quite sure what that means. And the reason I say that is my own spiritual journey. There have been times when I've been able to attain levels of intuition, and other times where I'm pretty sure I wasn't there. And a whole bunch of areas in between. You know, sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not so good. But I know that compared to like where my goal is, I've never been really close to my goal. Because my goal is to basically be able to do what you did with your spirit guide, to have conversations. To me, that's mm-hmm. where it's really interesting. That's where it's fun. So I'm wondering, what exactly does it mean to be open?
Being open is, okay, first off, it's so much fun. I'm not going to lie. I would never go back. If someone said, if you could redo this and not have to go, because going from a complete skeptic in the group, the social group I was in, to this, not easy. So like, people were like, so there was some struggles and there were some adjustments, and people are like, well, some of that was tough. Would you go through it again? In a heartbeat, Being open means you have access to signs. It means you have access to your spiritual team, your guides. You understand how to connect with them in a way to actually get information. So when somebody hears me say it, they're like, what do you mean? This is what I mean. I'll give you this one, like right here, a tool.
Okay.
People always want to talk to their spiritual guides. And I did this, and many have done this. I was like, oh, that's my guide in the woods. Like we mentioned, that guide. I was like, you're my guide. So you have all the answers. Okay. What are my kids going to be when I grow up? How much longer are we going to live in this house? When am I going to get a new car? Like I went right into everything I wanted to know. And it didn't work. In essence, what I found teaching so many students is two things. When you learn to see them where they're at, which is when you learn to disconnect from the agreed upon reality, let go of the solid molecules, focus in on what's in between the molecules. Mm-hmm. When you can get that pattern started and ask this one question, what is it you want me to know? Those two things are a game changer, because what you're doing is you're saying to your team, which by the way, they're not stopping by at a coffee shop, you know, and then running over to the park to chill out, to feed birds. Like they have a job. They're working for you. This is their focus. They're not in a human life. So they think differently than we do. Mm-hmm. They want to help. That's what their focus is. So when you say, hey, I want to help, me too, and I know you know best, so I'm going to let you tell me, what is it you want me to know? That's where the guide goes, oh, okay, cool. Listen up. If you follow this or you do this. So it's kind of like getting on the team instead of hoping that you found a magic eight ball. It's kind of like, which is how I approached it. I was like, oh, now I can know everything. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. But when it comes to your spiritual guides, if you relax, sort of disconnect from the solid type feel and say, what is it you want me to know? Then they'll tell you, because now you're helping them help you, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And in the end, that's what you want.
Yeah, now, exactly.
Right? That's what you want. Yeah. So when it comes to getting detailed information, because like I said, I was working as a professional medium. What I also learned is that everyone's intuition is very different. And until you give yourself this space to allow your intuition to say, hey, this is how I come through, then mm-hmm. you might be limiting yourself by trying to do it this one particular way. I'm trying to see. Well, what you didn't realize is that you can hear crystal clear. Mm-hmm. So, but we don't stop and let that happen. And the course literally asks people to do that. And there's all of these techniques through it that says, now try this with this unlimited, you know, try it this way, try it that. And it's a matter of exploring to find out what your strengths are. I have students that have, I have one student, I love her so much. She's so cool. She figured out in this course that if she imagines a diorama, remember when we were in like third grade and we took a shoebox, we created like a little diorama. If she imagines a shoebox as she's sitting in an intuitive state, her guides and source will literally create the stage scenario in that diorama for her and tell her everything she needs to know.
That is cool.
Right. And, but you don't hear that because right. what you see is you see a professional intuitive go like this. And then they just pick up all of the information, but you don't have these examples. I have another student, a gentleman who's really wonderful too. And he figured out that he could get an image, mm-hmm. but that, and we worked together. He had to figure out that he had to dive, like kind of imagine himself diving into the image. And when he dove into the image, another one showed up and then another one. And that's how he literally navigates to get answers through his intuition. Everyone is so different. Mm-hmm. And when you take the tools, they say to you, hey, stay super open, hold yourself in this place, do this and see what happens. And then your intuition will be like, well, good. I'm glad you're not distracted anymore. Let me show you how it comes through. And this is how they did it with me. I didn't know any better. So I just followed with what my guide said. He was like, hold still. I was like, okay. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, that was really weird. That just happened. He goes, that's your intuition. So part of one of the obstacles is most people weren't in my shoes where they didn't know anything at all. So they were kind of a blank slate. Mm-hmm. So part of the course is, hey, I'm inviting you to go back to being a blank slate and then let's see what happens. And I mean, I know people that have a full on dictionary now physically. If they feel mm-hmm. something in the front of their left shoulder, it means business. If they feel something in the back of their right shoulder, it means children. Like you really have to let the senses that want to, that are utilized in your unique intuition speak loudly.
I'm glad to hear that, actually, speaking for myself and for about 10% of the population like me who are either unable or find it very difficult to create images in their minds.
Yes.
That's been me for a long time. I mean, I can occasionally get an image. Lately, I've been working on it and I can get little brief images for a moment. They're very faint. They're not very colorful. They're just kind of, you know, there for a second and then gone. But I've never been able to get to the point so far anyway, where I could just like play out a whole scene in my mind and actually see the scene. I can imagine the scene in the sense of, okay, I'm thinking that there's this happening, there's this happening, there's this happening, but I can't actually see it in my mind. I don't see it playing out like a movie or anything.
That is like the most interesting fact about you.
Well, thank you. I think.
I remember the first time you told me and I was like, I just, cause all, it's all scenes in my mind. Like that's all that's happening. So I don't.
And that's what happens with most people. I mean, for me, it was the other way around. I couldn't believe people actually could do that. I thought that they were just kind of like, you know, saying it metaphorically. Oh, no, they really can do it. Really? Oh my God. You know, so I felt like I was kind of. But to hear you say, well, you're using whatever senses work for you. Well, good, because like my sense of hearing is great. Maybe I can do it there. You know, mm-hmm. it's like reassuring to know that there are other ways to be able to do these communications. When I said talking, I meant really talking, because that's really good for me. I can talk very well.
Exactly. And I think it's so beautiful how creative it is in the differences with each person. I think it's really beautiful. And also, I feel like, And I've done this too, where I've said, oh, well, I see, but I haven't really expressed to somebody, I don't see, I think, as well as people think I see. I see and know. So I've got two senses going there, or I see and hear. So I've got two senses going there. When I see, I think I tell people, well, that's my strength is seeing, because I will, I'll have a vision where I'm standing in a room and there's a table and an apple on it. But mm-hmm. is the room well lit? Is there like trees blowing in the breeze outside? No, it's like I'm barely able to go, oh, I think that's an apple on a table. So it's kind of my vision actually is relatively darker shaded too. So it's not like a television show or a movie. And so I think people mm-hmm. do expect it to show up that way. But for some it is, for some it's not. But yet mm-hmm. I have a lot of vision. I have a lot of visuals. I can watch something unfold, but I got to really stick with it to focus in on it and watch it unfold. And so it's different and it's unique. And 50% of me sees that apple, but the other 50% of me knows it's an apple or can hear someone say it's an apple. So it's, I like to get people away from what we hope or think it will be. Mm-hmm. In order to open the door to what it really is that you can actually rely on. And when you use it enough, the other obstacle that two other obstacles I had to overcome was doubt. And I do teach in there how to overcome doubt. I've got something called the No Doubt Notebook that people can get, you know, they can get that information right on the website for free. And that helps with doubt. That was an obstacle. But the other one was imagination. Did I make that up? Like, how do you know when you make it up or when it's real? And we cover that as well. We cover that subtle pull versus push. And eventually you can feel the difference between the pull and the push. And then the more you use it, the more you're like, oh, I did not make that up. that came out of left field and nope. Or you can, you know, reset it and look at it again and again and again. But life is, it's not perfect because life isn't supposed to be perfect, but it's a whole lot more fun and it opens up so many more doors. And your abundance game levels up, your ability to manifest levels up, and life becomes a little bit more magical. I tell people you become a conscious creator. You become so linked in with what's happening to you from source that you start to become a participant in it. Can I tell you a fun story real quick?
Sure. So, we love stories. We do. We love them.
This one I love. And I've been working on this conscious creator energy for a little while now. And we are full-time RVers. We've been doing it for about a year. And we don't have any plans on stopping because it's so much fun. But we were driving from one location to another. So we're literally moving the RV from one location to another. And I said to my partner, I heard about those places that you can throw axes at bullseyes. I'm like, that sounds really fun, right? So let's keep our eye out for one of those locations because I would really like to give that a try. I don't think I've ever even picked up an axe or thrown it. So we get to the next location. We happened to stop at a fairground. It was off season, beautiful, empty, quiet. They've got RV hookups at almost every fairground out there. And it's a great place to just stay and be peaceful and relaxed. 2 days later, my partner wakes me up all excited. He's like, the farmer's market showed up. And I said, awesome. Go outside and get
what
some
do I
fruit.
Do with that? I'm
like, go farm the market.
Yay. So the farmer's market showed up at the fairground. So 50 yards away from the RV now are all the booths. And he said, no, here's the cool thing. There's a mobile axe throwing unit. And I was like, done. Threw my shoes on, grabbed a cup of coffee. We went over and I threw axes and then walked back into my home. So you start to live a life where the signs become very consistent. You can rely on them. You start to create the things that you want in your life because you're more in sync. Mm. This is some of the side effects that I think are the best side effects of living intuitively.
Yeah, I can see that. I can also tell too, because I have such a strong desire for communication to happen orally that I probably have to let go of that because that's the one I really want.
I can relate to that, Walt. For me, it's like, just tell me. Just say
it. Yeah, right?
Just tell me what I need to know.
And, stop beating about the bush. Just, you know, lay it out here, okay? Come on. Just plain speak, please.
Exactly.
Do you speak English?
Oh, how much fun. Yep.
Yeah, we're all about the fun here.
I'm trying to think what movie that is. Where the girl goes, oh, Finding Nemo. I think it's Dory who says, you're really cute, but I don't know what you're saying.
No.
You're normal. I can see you, but I don't know what you're saying. Yep.
That is great. Okay, so we have some time left, so we don't have to rush this, but I want to get it in now before I forget. Tell people who are interested, how do they find out and perhaps even sign up for the next version, the next course of the source of the Sage Method?
Oh, pretty easy. TheSageMethod.com. So THESAGE method, METHOD.com. Yep. That site's, it's got everything. It has, some free courses that people can jump into right away as well. And it's got the master course and then it's got some other, other fun courses as well. But that's where they can find out about the Sage Method coming up.
And we'll bring that up right at the end, too, because I want to make sure we get that in there a couple times. But I want to go back to what your experience was when you first dove off the cliff, is my best way of expressing it. Because like you said, you just kind of you slipped into it with before you even realized that you were doing something that people considered to be difficult. And you just went with it because you didn't know any different. And that's great. That's wonderful that you were able to do that. But as you look back on that, I'm wondering, how do you feel about that experience now? Because what you experienced then was fitting to what you were ready for and what you were feeling at that point in time. And if not, would you want to do it differently, but do you see it differently? Do you feel it differently? Do you experience it differently looking back than what you went through? Or is it something you just replay it in your mind? Like, yeah, I can just live it again, live it again, live it again.
I want to ask a deeper question. Like, what aspect of it? Because there was like the emotional transition. There was the intuitive development piece. So is there a particular area of it that you're
I'm looking about? For the one that you connected with, because there's something about understanding or at least having some exposure to that connection that somebody else had that makes it real for us. And so I'm hoping to get even more of a sense of the reality you experienced by knowing what part of it just so totally resonated with you. And does it still resonate the same way now as it did then, or has it changed and shifted? What's that part like to you? Because it's the part that you love that really drives it.
What do I love the most about my intuitive journey? I am so ridiculously curious. Like I've always been, and if somebody said, "Well, here's the answer," I'll have another question. So, it's, you know, God bless my parents for going through that with me. But I mean, I was a chemistry minor in college. I was a math major. I wanted to understand how everything worked. If someone said, "Hey, let's hang out in the shop and I'll teach you how an engine in a car works for the weekend," I would go, just because I would really want to understand how it works. And there's a fascination to that. There's a level of being able to go, wow, okay, that's cool. Now tell me more. To be able to learn that you can step out of linear time, that you can step out of a distance in time doesn't exist, that you can navigate on a timeline backwards, forwards. I mean, my curiosity brain just exploded over and over and over again. I remember I had one moment where, and different guides will come to us in different times, and they'll start to spend time with us for a little bit, hoping, you know, that they'll support us in certain ways. I had one guide that came through, and it was in the form of a wolf. And I remember thinking, that's odd, but that's when I learned about animals and communicating. And this wolf was with me for a little bit. I went out to those same darn woods once and it showed up again. And then it walked away and looked over its shoulder, like, follow me. And I did. And I went a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper in the woods. And then it just sat down. And so I just stood next to it. And all of a sudden, I can't put it into words, but in a moment, I experienced everything in that spot that happened before, everything that happened now, and everything that will happen, like in that spot. And it's really hard to put that into words, but I was so deep into learning in that moment. I was so deep into curiosity and understanding that they were like, well, let's have you just touch it and experience it. And I mean, that got me into past lives and trying to understand. So for me, it feeds that curiosity. It feeds that understanding, you know, to know that past lives are all happening at the same time. Okay, then what does that mean? And where does that bring us? And how can we, you know, what are they doing when they're healing a past life? They're doing regression therapy, which is happening, but what's really going on? So for me, it's the curiosity. For me, it's learning that spiritual essence and everything that we're looking for is in between the molecules. It's things like that where I'm like, yeah, this is the stuff I want to know. This is it. Like if
that's,
I was
that's
sick.
Story.
Yes. If I was six and someone was like, let's learn about quantum physics, I'd be like, I'm bored. If somebody should have told me about that, I would have focused on that in college. But it's like cookies for me. It's just like, I can't get enough of it. And I think it's absolutely magnificent and beautiful. And it's, the possibilities are literally endless. And when people start stepping into those possibilities, it's a whole new experience.
That experience you just described in your story, when you got to the part where you said that you were experiencing past, present, future, all that at the same moment, the phrase that went through my head was complete source alignment.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's what that sounded like. It's like you were in total touch with all of it, just as if you were non-physical.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I came back and I had two quick thoughts, Walt. The first one was, I want to explain this to everyone. And then the second thought was, I have no idea how to put words to this. Oh, did you do that right? Those were my two thoughts. And I've had a number of those experiences over the years where it's like, oh, I want to explain. And I you can't, because, you know, Alex is like, yep, you get it. You can't put words to it, but you can step into it yourself. This is not for the gifted. It's not for the chosen few. This is natural. And we're getting back to being in our natural state of connectedness.
I like that idea that it's natural. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of stigma mm-hmm. away. It takes a lot of expectation away. Mm-hmm. It takes away a lot of the stuff that you could easily see would get in the way. Because if it's natural, well, you know, that's just like, you know, a third arm that I just didn't notice was there.
Yes. And then you go through this really cool, fun class for 7 weeks to figure out how to use that darn thing. Right. And then you're like, okay, well, look at all the things I can do with it. And it's a blast. I remember when I first opened up years ago, it wasn't as social, at least where I was at or the time or all the circumstances, it wasn't overly socially acceptable to be a medium. You know, people, mm-hmm. a lot of people didn't know what it was. And I was mm-hmm. I had that fear of what people thought, you know, so a lot of that stuff was still very alive in my life. And when I had the courage to say to a stranger who asked what I did and tell them what it was, many times, I can't count, but many times I've run into people that would say, I don't believe in that, but there was this one time mm-hmm. and everyone's got a story. And it's like, I don't believe in it, but there was this one time, and it's like, okay. Right.
That yeah, is natural. Funny.
It's very that natural. Is funny.
It's also reassuring to know that some of the crazy experiences that I've had, and I'm sure this is true for many people, aren't so crazy after all. I mean, you describe how your grandmother, you know, leaps in front of you and you're like in shock. All, I mean, I remember an experience one time where I was asleep. I was like in that half awake state, not quite awake, but I was definitely asleep. And all of a sudden, this face comes right into my face, like 2 inches away, and says, hello. And I go, whoa, how was that?
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, your side actually rather polite by comparison.
Exactly. We have a whole community of people. There's the course, but we also have what's called the Sage Circle. And this is a global community of people that are, you know, they're all following their spiritual path. It's, you know, it's a fun community. It's a membership community. And one of the things we like to say to people is that the Sage Circle is the place where you don't have to start the sentence with, this might sound weird, but. And yes. I think everyone needs that place. They need that safe place to yep. go. People are like, well, why did you start the community? Because of what I went through. Mm-hmm. Because of all of the transit, I was afraid to tell people what it was. I had these, come on, all the past and all the future moments all happen in one moment. And I get in my car and go home and can tell no one. It's like, it was really hard. And yeah. I didn't have anybody I could ask the questions to and things like that. So that's really where the community was born. I've been building community for years because of that. Mm, because somebody sure. might live in, you know, a town and they don't have a circle around them immediately of people that they can be like, hey, this happened. And that's what the community is about.
By the way, I also have to throw in, I love that you use the phrase conscious creator. We use that all the time here. And when you said that one, it's just like, oh, ring. I love this. It's good.
She fits right in.
Yep.
Definitely fits right in. No doubt about it. All right. So it's thesagemethod.com. That's where they go to find out all about the course and the stuff that you have, your community, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to sign up, they need to sign up pretty quick because it's going to close pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we have a limited number of supplies. So we only can let in so many people. And if they get on the wait list, they'll get like a little bit of a notification before it opens the doors to the public. But we open it up officially to everybody on the 1st of February.
All right. Sounds good. Well, all right. Bo Maxwell, thank you very much. This has been a fun visit. Really, really interesting.
Hey, yeah. I came on here and I was like, wait, I see the word fun and laughter. Like, these are my teeth. I'm like, this is good. I'm going to have a good afternoon. Yeah.
Right? That's how you know you're in the right place. Absolutely.
Exactly.
We're all about the fun. This is your daily dose of happy. That's the whole point of it.
Yes.
It's about being in that high vibe space. I mean, even if you have trouble being high vibe the rest of your life, you can do it for an hour.
Yes. Exactly.
Right? So there you go. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for spending this time. Thank you for giving this great set of stories and pieces of information. Really, really cool. Very tasty. Very yummy. Oh,
it's
loved
good
it.
Stuff.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. We'll have to have you back again. Just if nothing else, find out what happened in this round of the course. It's going to be interesting. You're going to have some good stories, I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, very good. All right. Thank you, podcast listeners everywhere. And we will see you all next time here on Elevate Today. Goodbye, everybody.